enfoncez bien votre carte ou faire le numéro que vous désirez obtenir.
Here's a call I made to Bill from Sherbrooke. What's amazing about this conversation is the date. I have not had a conversation about phones like this since 1986. And it's been even longer since I've had such a conversation with Bill. But this town in Quebec has a part of the old network in it, and therefore, I'm interested again.
The number you are calling does not accept unidentified calls. If you are a solicitor, please hang up now. Otherwise, please enter the 10-digit telephone number you are calling from.
I guess you wouldn't refuse a call from that number.
I'm too far away to hear the number.
Oh, it was 311-555-2368.
Oh, I love it. And you took it? Oh, that would have been a riot if I'd heard it. Oh, too bad. I would have known who it was, at least.
Yep.
Or at least
what the general agenda was.
Yeah, exactly. I love it.
When I got to the phone and picked it up, I was delighted to hear old dial tone.
Uh-huh.
But the dial tone was just there. Yeah, it seemed to just be there. And
so it was one of those solid-state step offices.
Well, that was what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
That it had a, you know, some sort of a retrofit.
Yeah.
And that may still be true, but I can think of another explanation, which I'll get into in a minute.
Yeah?
It has touch tone.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good converters, because right after each digit, it cuts right back, so you get to hear the step noises.
Oh, that is nice.
But you don't hear the dial tone during the pulses. So you don't hear la da 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 da, you know.
Yeah, right.
You hear ticka ticka ticka, you know, like that.
Yeah.
So the first thing I did was dial a 7-digit intra-office call, and the 5 went right out of the office into a local digital of some sort. And the call did not go through, even though it was a valid number. So it appears that intra-office calling, at least now, can only be dialed with either the last 5 or last 4 digits.
Oh, that's extremely odd.
And I've never seen that anywhere.
Because 5-4, yeah, you said 5-4-7, and 5 takes you right out of the office. That's weirdful. So you have to dial,
either 5 or 4 digits.
And then you do get where you're supposed to go.
Exactly.
So they make it, they won't allow you to dial, to loop around. They're not wanting to let you do that.
I definitely tried that. I thought, well, you know, maybe it'll tandem through, but no,
yeah.
It did not go. When I dialed the correct 547 number, it did not go out to the digital and back. And in fact, it tended to terminate on 5 digits into the trunk, suggesting that you're supposed to hit the digital on the 2nd digit. So something 5.
Oh, yes.
But I didn't dial a valid code to verify that. I mean, maybe if you dial a valid code beginning with a 5 that is supposed to go to that digital, that it terminates on 7. So that's one thing I got to try when I get back.
Yeah, I'd love to know what their plans are for this office.
Yeah, they may still be scratching their head. I mean, it may be too small for a DMS-10.
Well, that could be a remote.
Yeah.
If they have the facilities to support it.
Trouble is, it's such a tiny mom and pop that they would have to enter into some sort of a...
Oh, I see. It's an isolated independent.
Yeah. And that's probably, you know, the complete explanation as to why it has taken so long to do this. Now, at some point when I flashed something, and I think I flashed 2-1, my coin dropped right into the box. Based on that, and I didn't verify this, it probably is like Chapel Hill, North Carolina, in that you would dial a local number. You'd need a coin in the box to make the dial work, which is true of this phone. You can flash whatever you like without a coin, but the dial won't work until you put one in.
Right.
And I suspect that the coin would drop in the box when they answer. Battery drop at the end of every call triggers a return.
And the fact that the dial tone is just there, you know what that says? They have a dedicated first selector.
That's what I think.
No line finder.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I was getting to. And it makes sense because it's such a tiny little town that is the only phone and probably going to be the only payphone for time immemorial.
Oh, you think it's the only payphone?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's why there's no line finder. Why bother? There's only one payphone.
Yeah. And by the way, what thousands group do those numbers live in? I couldn't get anything that didn't give me a reorder.
It's 3,000 group. The 3 is absorbed, and the only working connectors are 3-4, 3-6, 3-7.
That is a little town. Maximum of 300 lines.
You got it.
And you can't even have a 3-5.
That's right. You can't have a 3-5. There's also a local digital trunk on 8. Seems to be the same office as on 5, but...
What if it's the same trunks?
It's probably the same trunks. They behave the same, but again, I'll know when I... Now that I've got some valid codes to try. I'm not that interested, actually, you know. Just one... A tape of one successful call to the digital would be sufficient for me. I did find a second selector. But
really?
I don't know what it's for. When I originally found it, I assumed they had more subscribers. Some on the second selector is on the 2 level,
mm-hmm.
And 20 and 21 go to silence. That silence has sort of the sound when you keep dialing on it.
Yeah.
It sort of ticks like on an outgoing trunk wire trunk sort of.
Oh. Now beware, because sometimes on coin phones they put pulse repeaters on regardless.
Exactly. I never got it to do anything except once it sounded like maybe it went off hook for a second and took my coin. I'm not sure about that. But the fact that it's on zero... Okay, I'll tell you what's on the second selector. You have 20 and 21 going to silence.
Uh-huh.
You got 6 and 7 going to connector groups, which at the time I assumed was additional connector groups.
Well, yeah, because you've dialed 2 and you've cut through.
Right.
This second selector is...
But,
well, no, because the 3 is absorbed, which means that 4 and 6... Oh, weird.
Yeah, it is weird. Now, see, at the time I was there, I assumed, they've got 3-4, 3-6, 3-700 group, right? And then they have a second selector in order to catch the 2-6 and 2-700 groups.
Right.
And I assumed they were distinct. But... after trying the 2-6 and 2-700 groups from the outside, it became clear that there were not any such thing as that. And that means there are two things I have to check out that I can think of. Number one, the fact that 0 and 1 seemed to go silent. Now, I couldn't really hear well enough to hear whether there was T-carrier noise. I want to make sure that's not a TOPS trunk.
Yeah.
Because it might be a TOPS trunk, and it might be that I didn't dial enough digits into it to make it do anything.
Yeah, right.
And it might be that if it did do something, all it did was very silently go off. Like, maybe I dialed and dialed and dialed, and it went very silently off hook, waiting for ANI that never came, right?
Right, of course.
And I said, it's not going to do anything, and I ditched the call.
And that would explain why you lost your coin.
That one time, it's quite possible.
Yeah, you're coming at it from a place it doesn't expect, so it's almost as if 2's putting you possibly... What does 2-5 do?
Everything except 01, 6, and 7 went to a reorder, which is what vacant levels do.
Yeah, they just go over 11 and...
I'm going to make sure that 2-4 really is vacant. I seem to get that it was, but now that 6 and 7 went to connectors, wouldn't be no test now, would it?
Well, that would be kind of cute.
Yes.
Generally, they don't ring at... You know, if you connect to a number, they generally will sit there rather than ring, and I assume you got some things to ring.
I did get things to ring. They behaved...
Dialing your own number would be cute, although you have to be prepared for it locking the phone solid.
Exactly.
You know, electrically, that's kind of nasty.
Well, dialing your own number gets to be... is another complication that I have to check out, because... When you dial the number of the payphone normally, it acts like an open sleeve.
Even from outside?
Actually, from inside, you get a busy. From outside, it acts like an open sleeve.
Oh, man.
It does not affect the payphone as far as ring and tip goes. You don't hear it. The call does not plop in on top of you. That was the first thing I thought. You know, it's an open sleeve. Well, you know, maybe if we trigger it to ring, it will... You know, the incoming call will just plop in on whatever I'm connected to, but it doesn't do that. But what it does do is if you're on a call to a busy signal, for example, and that phantom ring is ringing, you can't disconnect. I think that what it does is it grounds the sleeve.
Oh, it holds it.
Yeah. It puts a permanent ground on your sleeve, so you can't disconnect from whatever you're on. But you probably can... If you're on the first selector, I would expect that if you had just, like, maybe dialed a digit that was blocked, like dialed a...
If you were anywhere else.
Yeah, if you were on the first selector and hadn't gotten anywhere, you probably could hang up and reset. But if the first selector had cut you through to a connector or to a trunk, then you're stuck to it.
Oh, because it would be only then that the sleeve would come into play.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, good guess.
And, of course, one thing I forgot to try was, well, what happens if this phantom ring starts ringing while I'm on an outgoing TOPS call?
Mm-hmm.
I should theoretically be able to hang up long enough to completely reset the TOPS trunk.
Yeah, or any inter-office trunk.
Right. But TOPS especially, because then you pick up the phone, you dial a number, and maybe on the reset the ANI doesn't work. So you get to hear an operator say, your number please.
Yes, so very true.
And, you know, I assume they don't use super combined trunks, but, you know, hey, you never know.
There you go.
You might have CAMA calls going through from a payphone.
I'm amazed it has ANI.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tiny office. I mean, we don't usually see offices this tiny.
Yep.
I mean, anywhere, even back in the old days, that's pretty small. I mean, I'm sure they've been out there, but
yep.
That's pretty darn small.
So those are reason enough, I think, to go back and
absolutely
see what I can find out.
What's the number of the coin phone?
It's 547-3456.
So they don't even bother with mapping it to a 9 number.
Yeah, and they could have, too. The 9 level is available.
Yeah, and of course, what you also will see in the small offices is where they just map the 9-9. Wait a minute, didn't Sperryville do that, come to think of it?
It doubled the 9 to the 3s.
Yeah, so you were on the 3s. Anyway,
and that's what they would tend to do. The map, the 9 would just double to one of the regular 1,000 groups, or the only 1,000 group, depending upon,
yeah.
You know, how big
the yeah, yeah, so very true.
Now, at the payphone itself, we can actually get these questions answered. The first question's pretty simple. Is 24 really a vacant code? Certainly, I flashed 24 very cleanly before, and we got a reorder. But now I'm starting to doubt that, because at the time I didn't realize that the connector groups on 2 were really just a repeat of the ones that were on the first selector. So let's dial 24 and see if that's really vacant. If it's silent, it means it's going somewhere, and I'll dial a few more digits. So there's one mystery solved, and it was caused by the fact that when I originally flashed 2-4, I must have done it a little too slow. Yes, now we know that 2-4, 2-6, and 2-7 each go to connector groups, and they do correspond to the 3-4, 3-6, and 3-7 connector groups. Now remember, this isn't like a step where the digit is absorbed. The 2 is actually going to a second selector, so it is taking a different route through the switching train than it would if you dialed the number normally. The question is, why? One possibility was that these connector switches that we get on the 2 selector might be for busy line verification, also called no-test connectors. I just want to make sure that this isn't a way to do that here. Now, there's an easy way to find out, without disturbing or intruding upon any customer's line. I'm going to have my friend call 3611, a number which we know goes to intercept. Then I'm going to dial from here 2611. If I'm accessing a no-test connector, I should find myself coming right into my friend's call to the intercept operator. If it's a normal connector, I'll just get a busy signal. Okay, that did not work, which is good. So it appears that the connectors we're getting on 2-4, 2-6, and 2-7 are actually the same ones as we would get if we dialed 3-4, 3-6, and 3-7. And again, this is significant because the 3 is absorbed, the 2 goes to a second selector, so it is taking a different route, and there's no reason why these connectors should be on this second selector at all. However, there is an explanation, and it has to do with work saving. This office is so small that there was no reason to put the second selectors in their own rack or row. My theory is that the second selectors are sitting right next to the first selectors on the very same shelf, the very same rack. And normally, all selectors on that rack would have the same 100 trunks multipled so that every selector would have access to the same 100 trunks. And I think what they did was that they split it to make two selector groups out of a rack that was designed for one. But they didn't cut all the wires. They had to cut the wires on 0 and 1, because 2-0 and 2-1 are going to a different place than picking up the phone and dialing 1 or 0. But there was no particular reason to cut all the wires, and so they didn't. This would only happen in a tiny little office where you're squeezing two selector groups onto a rack designed for one. Anyway, that's my theory. I don't know for a fact because I didn't go in to see the office. And I'm glad I didn't have to ask that question in French. Now, let's find out what the 2-1 code really is. Here's a series of calls that answers the question. First, here's 2-1 flashed without a coin in the box. That should sound familiar, and when I did that while Mark was on a phantom ring, the process repeated. It would go through those clicks every time I tried to disconnect. So what's going on there? Well, I'm going to get real brave and put a quarter in and dial 2-1. Now, the last time I did this, I lost it, but this time it did something different. This time it returned my quarter, and then it sort of ticked, and we heard nothing but silence. Let's do the exact same thing again, 2-1 with a quarter. Did you hear that? We heard a burst of audible ring, and then tick, nothing but silence. Now it's beginning to get clear what's going on. You know what it is? 2-1, whatever it is, returns my quarter. All right? Then it goes off hook. This time we just happened to hear a burst of audible ring before it went off hook, and so we caught it in the act. But what it's doing is it's returning my coin and then putting me in a position where when it goes off hook, I'm not going to be able to hear because the phone that I'm calling from makes sure you can't hear unless there's a coin in the box whenever a local call answers. And this thing is reversing polarity back to the phone. Now, to get around this, I'm going to have to dial 2-1 again, and as soon as it returns my quarter, I'll have to redeposit so that the phone will let me hear whatever the heck this is.
Oui, bonjour.
Bonjour. Do you have a number for the telephone company in Nantes? N-A-N-T-E-S.
And what is the name of the telephone company?
I don't know. It's a small independent.
Okay, hold on. I'm checking. Nantes. Télébec.
I don't think so.
But I typed Nantes, you know, in my system, and they told me it's Télébec.
Oh, they did say Télébec.
Yeah.
What number do you have?
I have a toll-free number here. Do you want that number?
That can't be the right number. Thank you anyway.
2-1 is the code for directory assistance. Who would have thunk it? And we never would have heard it if I hadn't redeposited my money. And now we know what that ghostly voice we heard was in one of the earlier times that we tried dialing 2-1. That was the directory assistance operator going way under the attenuation that the phone imposes when you don't have a coin in. Now, that annoying mystery about that nondescript series of ticks that I would get if I dialed this when the phantom ring was up and tried to disconnect and the ticks would repeat, that is caused by the following conditions. The phantom ring grounds the sleeve of my phone line for as long as that ring is up. That prevents me from dropping off of whatever linkage of the local switching train is up. In this case, the two selectors, 2-1, are stuck to my line and won't drop. However, when I hang up, the trunk notices it and thinks I've disconnected. When I pick up the phone again, the trunk behaves as if I've just come in as a new caller, and then it repeats the attempted coin return. And so that's what causes that nondescript series of clicks repeating over and over mysteriously. So that solves the mystery of 2-1. 2-0, however, continued to do the same thing no matter what I tried. I even tried some more stuff, and I think it's just an old test circuit that used to do something and now doesn't. Here's one last call to the 2-0, whatever it is. This time I'm flashing it with an unnecessary 3 first. I'm including this call because the relay's kind of squeaked funny this time in a way that sounds different from previous calls. Now that's an example of something this coin line does a lot. When you hang up really quickly and get a new dial tone, sometimes it doesn't bother to return your money. In fact, it often doesn't bother to collect your money. Based on what happened when I first dialed 2-1, I was thinking that maybe Coin Collect worked like Chapel Hill, North Carolina, where it collects your coin when they answer. But that is not the case. Collect is at the end of the call. But you really have to hang up a long time, otherwise you just get a free dial tone to make another local call on. As follows. Here are three local calls in a row, all made on the same quarter. The first two calls are to an answering machine of some sort that answers with a beep in the local Nantes office. The third call is to one of the digitals, and then we'll take it from there. And the reason it's not collecting my coin in these first three calls is I'm not hanging up long enough. This answering device does take a while to answer, so while it's ringing, I'll mention a few other things. The night before I came back, I sat down with a big map of the eastern townships with Mark on the phone, and we figured out what the prefixes were surrounding this area, and I want to thank Mark for helping me with that research. And as a result, I now know the three prefixes that are local to this one. They are all handled out of that digital, and the three codes are 652, 583, and 888. Now, after this thing answers, I'm going to hang up and redial it without having to put in another coin. And the second time I let it ring, the ring is worth listening to because some changes occur during the ring, indicating other subscribers getting and answering calls.
appel a été transféré à un système de traitement de la voix.
Vous osez aller?
N'est pas disponible. Au signal, veuillez dicter votre message.
What I did there was to flash and reset the trunk to the digital and redial the last five digits, and now we have yet a fourth local call starting to be made on the same quarter. But this is fairly normal for STEP. It was very common to be able to reset the trunk and redial the last five or four digits or whatever. Those free dial tones that we got before are rather abnormal. Now it's time to hang up and actually get the coin collect sound on tape. As I said, resetting a trunk out of the office is common in STEP, but getting a free dial tone over and over is not. And I think the reason that happens here has to do with the fact that this phone has no line finder. It's permanently connected to the first selector. So much so that the dial tone is even there when the phone is sitting hung up. In this next recording, you'll hear in the background, with the phone hung up, the dial tone being there, and then finally I'll pick up the phone and it'll come to full volume. Here's a call to long-distance directory assistance going through normally.
Bonjour, t'es Robin Bell. C'est 85 sous, s'il vous plaît.
OK.
Thank you. Have a nice evening.
Directory assistance for what city and state?
San Antonio, Texas.
Thank you. What is the name, please?
For movie phone.
Thank you. One moment, please. Movie phone. Nothing listed under movie phone.
Maybe it's MOVIEFONE?
I tried that as well. There's still nothing.
That's funny.
Actually, no. It's all one word. MOVIEFONE.
Right, yeah.
Okay, here's your number.
The number is area code 210-333-3456. I repeat, the number is area code 210-333-3456. Thank you.
Bonjour. 85 sous, s'il vous plaît.
No, I'm finished.
Oh, you're finished. I'm sorry. Bye-bye.
Notice I was dumped right back to dial tone. That's what TOPS is supposed to do at the end of a call, but with a phantom ring up to this number, that won't be possible. I will be stuck to the TOPS trunk, so it can hang up on me, but I'll still be there. I can then hang up my phone, still stuck to the trunk, pick it up again, and dial a new number. Now at that point, the TOPS trunk is going to soup, waiting for my phone number to be sent forward. However, the automatic number identification will very possibly not happen, because as far as it's concerned, this is one call, not two. And this is one of the things that I really wanted to try. Can I make ANI fail? Well, we're going to find out. First thing I'm going to do is dial a 1-866 number and let the call start to go through. By the time I hang up on my 1-866 call, Mark will have my number ringing in that phantom condition. And so when I pick up the phone, instead of a dial tone, of course, I'll get the TOPS trunk ready to receive a new number. So I'll call directory assistance in 210 again, And what happens then depends on whether ANI fails or not. We possibly will get an operator asking me in French what my number is, and what happens after that is anyone's guess.
Robin Bell, vous êtes à quel numéro, s'il vous plaît?
547-3456.
Thank you. Are you billing to this number?
Dialing direct.
All right, just hold on. Please hang up, I'll call you right back.
Okay.
Thank you.
And of course, he cannot call me back, as we know. So that was the end of that. I tried this two other times with the tape recorder off, and they just didn't know what to do. It's obvious that ANI failure doesn't happen very much, and they just aren't trained to deal with it. I have no idea whether the technology allowed a call to go through. Certainly none of mine did. In any event, this has been an amazing experience for me because of what time it is now. Before I go, one more call.
What number are you calling? Quel numéro appelez-vous?
547-2611.
Merci.
Bell Canada, il n'y a pas d'abonné au 547-2611. Je répète, il n'y a pas d'abonné au 547-2611.
Well, you know, while I was dialing from that phone, I ended up calling Mark more times on my calling card than I really needed to. I could have gotten my cell phone out and called him, which would have saved me some money due to the calling plans. But somehow, while I was using a step-by-step payphone, it was impossible for me to remember that I had a cell phone. It wasn't until Mark mentioned calling me on my cell phone that I went, "Oh yeah, that's right, we can communicate that way, can't we? I was in a different universe." I'm now recording later that same day. Having returned to Vermont, I passed a small town that I'm familiar with, and I saw a payphone that looks pretty much the way it would have in the late 70s and 80s. And for a moment, I wanted to stop the car and walk over to the payphone, maybe with my tape recorder, because I knew there'd probably be something to check out. I figured the N1 carrier trunks that they used to have to a nearby town might be replaced by T carrier by now. But of course, it never crossed my mind that the phone might not be step anymore. Now, I was just about to remind myself that there is in fact nothing that I would care to investigate and certainly not record from that payphone when something else did that for me. As I rounded the corner, I saw a second payphone, and this one had big letters blazoned across it. It said Verizon. What a reality. There were things about this future that I'm now living that we knew were coming. Everything going digital, no more electromechanical switching, sure. But the free-for-all circus that telecommunications has become now, I didn't see that coming. Anyway, please enjoy the rest of the phone tapes, all of which were recorded prior to 1988, with the exception of any museums that I might add to this collection. Reporting from the future, this is Evan Doorbell 2.0, signing off.